Welcome to the Canvas Rebel podcast, where we believe your story matters. Your viewpoint and your insights matter. In our view, there is far too much coverage of the trends that ivory tower professors and billionaire fund managers are seeing. What's the edge in hearing the billionaire consensus view over and over again? The edge comes from hearing new perspectives and new information, like from the wedding planner who's worked with hundreds of couples during the pandemic and has noticed that new couples are allocating significantly more of their wedding budgets on small details like personalized neon signs, or hearing from an accountant who's seeing how there is a huge uptick in e-commerce clients generating revenue from in-person pop-ups. Those sorts of insights are what Canvas Rebel is all about. And today, Madison is chatting with some of our content partners about trends and lessons learned. Content partners help us in so many ways, from sponsoring our mission to spreading the word about the work that we do and collaborating with us on content like this. And so with no further ado, here's Madison with today's panel.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Madison. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of our podcast, talking about growing and thriving as a creative. So not only being a creative yourself, but the ability to grow and thrive and just flourish in your industry. My internet is a little bit funky on my end. Is it funky on your end?
You're okay now, but yeah, in the beginning it was a little choppy, but you're okay now for me.
Okay, cool. We're just rolling with it today. Well, all that to say, I have two very, very talented, creative, beautiful people here with me today to talk about their art journeys and how they grow and thrive as creatives. So I'd love if you could both introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your art background, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Hi, everybody. My name is Balar Sarul. I am based in Los Angeles, California. I am an actor, producer, and a little bit of a writer. And currently, I'm working on my short film, auditioning, and trying to do as many creative things as I can while balancing, you know, day jobs and very real life demands.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
That definitely sounds about right, that last part. Hi, everybody. Mm-hmm. My name is Catherine Colmitis. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I am an artist and graphic designer. I do mostly watercolor art of animals. I grew up with two parents who are veterinarians, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Animals are a huge part of my life. So that's mostly most of my painting subjects. And then I do, my graphic design is my day job. So okay. I have clients and I do branding and social media management and that kind of thing.
Right on. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to start off by asking, what does success look like for each of you?
Do you want to go, Catherine?
Sure. I don't know. What does success look like for each of us? Well, I mean, obviously, there's a financial component, right, to success.
True.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's what makes the world go around, whether we like it or not, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, for me, it is making enough money that my bills are paid without me completely stressing out. That's, and I think I'm sure that's true for most everybody listening to this podcast. And then also just, I want to feel like I'm doing something, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To give you a really quick background on me, because I'm not sure that everybody can see me, but I have a genetic bone disease called osteogenesis imperfecta. And it basically means that my bones break easily and they grow abnormally. So I'm only 2'7" in height, and I use an electric wheelchair around. And I need help doing things. Like, I can't go to the bathroom by myself or get food or, you know, that kind of thing. So I went to a mainstream school because here, special ed schools are generally for mentally disabled people. And it's not me. So we stopped my face. My parents put me in a mainstream school, but of course I couldn't do all the things my friends could. And right. So they were constantly trying to find things for me to do because I was smart and I was bored and I was driving them insane. And so my mom gave me my first watercolor set when I was 5, and the rest is kind of history. So I got really into art at a young age. So for me, success is finding something new in my art, constantly furthering. Right now, I'm working on a show that's opening in September. I just had a show close in January. So
amazing.
Yeah. your turn.
You know, I was going to agree with that. I was going to say that's, you know, in the same vein of what I feel success for me means, because success is something you have to be striving for and something that's sustainable, yeah, no matter how your life looks like, but just something you have control over. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like progression in who I am as an artist. You know, even if nothing is working out and I can't control any other variables, I know what I can put in every day. And yeah, that's kind of what success means to me. So yeah, it's like, are you self-submitting? Are you working on monologues? Are you, you know, going out and trying to meet new people? Just getting yourself out there, yeah, I think is important. So just even, you know, something I say to myself lately is 5% is better than 0%. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be 100% at this point. Just every day, if you can do 5%, you're done. Like, you're good. You're, yep, good. You did it. You're striving. You're still on the road and walking on your path to success.
Yep.
So that's what I would say.
So well said. Well, let's talk a little bit about the challenges you both have experienced being creative people. What's been the biggest challenge as an artist or as an entrepreneur, and how have you been able to overcome that?
Well, for me, my biggest challenge is physical. Because like I said, I pretty much rely on people around me to live, yeah, literally. And so that also means that I rely on people around me to work to a certain extent too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, my life kind of has to revolve around other people's schedules, which, mm-hmm, makes it very challenging to run a business sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it just, but it is what it is, and you work it out, you know. I have a really good team of people around me, and that's what makes me successful. Because, yeah, you know, my parents have always been very supportive. I have two great aides that, you know, work for me and do a great job. We have friends, you know, that are always supportive. And so I think that for me, that's what makes the biggest difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say for me, you know, the trouble that I personally find myself having is consistency. And I think that just goes back to focus on my art and my, you know, everything that I want to achieve and progress and get better at, it's consistency. I get distracted easily by little things and little tasks and, you know, oh, this person needs me, and or I need to do this, or oh, ooh, this shiny thing right here,
yep,
in the corner. So, yeah, that's been my number one thing. But, you know, like I said, 5% is better than 0%. Just every, yeah, day strive to do something. And I think that's all we can really expect from ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So how can we as creatives reach our fullest potential this year?
I think she just said it. Like,
yeah,
you just strive to do something every day.
Yeah.
You know, there are days where I have more than one broken bone and I am not feeling good. And I only move certain parts of my body. And like, you know, it's difficult, but I try to find the things I can do.
Yeah.
You know, and then at least do them. And at least then I don't feel like, because I'm a very, I'm a driven person and I'm a very list person. Yep. So if I have a list.
Totally.
I love to check it off.
Oh, and me too. So,
yeah.
You know, and I have like lists inside of lists, you know? And so when I can't check something off my list in a day, it's very frustrating. And I start with that, like, oh my God, you're failing. It's a terrible day. Life is awful.
Oh. You know?
And like, but you find what you can do. And yep, that's what turns it around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would say in this year, especially now that everything's kind of opened back up too, with just how the world is, you know, I think people have a lot more, I wouldn't even say we're going back to the way it was, but it's definitely, the world is just different, but at least we can go out and things are more open.
Yeah.
So if you want to be creative and, you know, grow your creativity, I think you can just, you have to go outside and do things outside. I think.
Yeah.
The best ideas come from your interactions outside, sun, you know, on your face, just nature, fresh air, things like that.
Yeah.
I try to tell people, like, you never know what's going to happen when you walk out. Right. You know, you never, yeah, know what opportunities are going to, like, fall in your path, literally. I mean, I went to what I thought was just a concert, and I ended up getting to work for Rod Stewart the next month. Okay, so, like, it was, like, a total, like, fluke, just a weird, like, turn of events that just kind of happened. And I mean, I didn't wake up thinking, oh, I'm going to try to work for Rod Stewart today. Like, not even close, you know?
That is crazy. First of all, look at this giant Rod Stewart poster that's literally
look at that.
And all of my records over here.
That's awesome.
I need to hear this story. Please tell me, what did you do for Rod Stewart?
I'll try to tell you the short version. So we have a festival here in New Orleans called the Jazz Fest, and it's a huge, like, people come in from all over for Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
It's a huge, and it's all big names. It runs 2 weekends. Like, it's a big deal. Well, Aretha Franklin was supposed to be playing, but it was actually toward the end of her life, and she was getting sick, and she ended up canceling kind of at the last minute. And Rod Stewart was put in her place. And my friend and I were planning to go see her, but we were like, okay, we like Rod Stewart. Like, that, you know, that sounds fun. And I'm in my 30s. So, like, he's not exactly my generation, but
yeah,
my parents' generation. Well, he is now. But he's my parents' generation. And so I knew, you know, some of his music, right? My dad was a big music buff, so I had heard, you know, a good bit of it. Anyway, so we get there. We get Jazz Fest. It's one of these festivals where if you want a good spot, you get there early and you just suffer through the heat. Oh. So we did. Got there early. First in line, like, got a front row seat. Sat through the whole day of music. You know, he finally came on around 4:30, something like that. Great show. Like, put on a fabulous show. I don't know how he did it in the heat in these suits. Like, I have no idea. But anyway, he kept, like, looking at me and singing toward me. And I'm like, crap, I don't know these songs. Like, I only know parts of them, right? And so I'm, like, trying to fake it as well as I can. And he does this thing at his shows where he kicks out soccer balls that he's sawing because he's big into soccer. And he gave me one of those, which was exciting, which I was very excited about. And then he looks at me during his second to last song, and he points to me and my friend, and he's like, do y'all want to come backstage after the show? And I'm like, who? Me? Like, are you pointing at somebody else? He's like, no, you. Do you want to come backstage? I'm like, okay. So anyway, we go backstage, and he has to shower and all this stuff, and he comes out in this white linen outfit, no shoes, like, super casual. His band is back there. His family was back there. They had cake because they were one of the backup singers was moving on to Broadway. That was her last show with them.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, doing like a goodbye celebrations. They had cake and wine, and he tried to get us to do tequila shots, and I was like, no. But anyway, we literally just sat back there and talked to him for like an hour. I mean, just hung out with him and his band and his family. And my friend who is with me kind of jokingly said, hey, you know, Catherine does graphic design and she loves to work for the music industry, which I do. And we have a good bit of it down here. And she's like, you know, ha ha, if you ever need something, let her know. And he goes, well, I'm putting out an album in September. I think this was in May. And, you know, would you like to have a go at the album artwork? And I'm like, okay.
Are you joking right now?
Serious? No, I have all the, believe me, I have all the evidence.
This is amazing.
All the receipts.
Yeah. And the check. But anyway, so he, I mean, basically he's like, you know, I'll have my manager who was standing right there get with you on Tuesday or whatever, and she'll give you the specs. And he didn't know what he wanted, and a typical artist. But anyway, I worked with him. I mean, at that point, like, I really didn't expect anything to happen. You know, I really was like, okay, this is just a thing. You know, he's just saying it. Like, this isn't going to happen. But then she did email me on Tuesday with all the information. And I ended up working with him through her. So I didn't talk directly to him, but through his manager for like the next 3 or 4 months. And it came down to 2 designs, and mine unfortunately came in second. So I did not get the job, but he did pay me for all the hours I worked on it, which was really cool. And I, like, now when we want to go see him, I email his manager, and usually we can get some tickets. So that's
crazy.
We just did his Vegas residency and got to hang out with him after that. And that was fun. Yeah.
That wow. is so cool. I, one, love that story. Like, when I tell you, I've talked about Rod Stewart on the podcast before, and it's always funny. Like, it's the weirdest, randomest episodes where we end up talking about Rod Stewart. Like, it's not even the music episodes where I'm interviewing musicians. But that just goes to show, like, you literally never know.
You never know. And, like, he's one of the nicest people in the world.
Absolutely.
He's still a rock star, right? I mean, he's still, like, clearly is used to getting things, like, a certain way and, you know, whatever.
But
he's
literally so
kind. I read that. Yeah, because as soon as I got this job, I got to learn this music. I got to, like, read the book. I mean, like, the whole thing.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. 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 It was crazy.
That is so amazing. Well, after this, please send me the album art that you did, because I would love to see that.
It's on my website. It's on my website.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look. So before we get back on topic, so my parents are big music buffs, as yours are, Catherine, and I grew up with the jukebox. My dad had music on vinyl, and my parents used to follow him on tour, and they would take my brother and I and, like, leave us in the hotel room in Vegas when they would go see him perform. And I was never into it when I was a kid. Like, growing up, I was like, oh, this is old school or whatever. You know, I'd rather listen to my Justin Bieber, whoever we were listening to at that age. And then when my parents got divorced in 2018, I took a liking to his music because it reminded me of a time when my parents were back together and things were different. And so I started collecting all of this memorabilia and posters from record stores. And I have this, well, you can't really see it, but I have this really cool purse that somebody made out of a vinyl and, like, crafted it into a bag. And every vinyl, and, like, and people think I'm crazy. They're like, Madison, you know how old this guy is, right? And I'm like, yeah, and he's a musical genius, and he puts on a phenomenal show. So thanks to Voyage and their amazing willingness to help me go after my dreams, I reached out to my editor last year and I said, hey, he's going to be touring with Cheap Trick in Seattle, which is where I'm from originally. And I want to, like, write a little piece about it and photograph it, because I do concert photography for Voyage as well outside of this. And he was like, oh yeah, sure. Like, well, I mean, what's the worst they could say? No. And so we apply months in advance, and then they get back to me 2 a.m. the day before. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got on a flight and I flew to Seattle to photograph Rod Stewart. And then I was talking to the director at the Climate Pledge arena there downtown. And I was, like, telling her my whole thing. And I was, like, you know, totally fangirling. And they didn't give us tickets, because that's a common misconception with concert photography, is that you don't always get tickets. You usually just get to go for the first three songs, you take your photos, and then you put your gear in your car and you leave. And so I bought the cheapest ticket I could get, which was in, like, the 350 section, $25 seat. Like, there's nobody around me. And she's like, well, where's your seat? And I was like, oh, I'm way up there. Like, I'm going to go sit up there. And she's like, actually, I think we have some room on the floor, like, if you want to come with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, they put me in the sixth row. That ticket was $500. Like,
oh, I know.
It was the coolest thing ever. Right place, right time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. It's right place, right time. And you wouldn't have known that unless you hadn't reached out to your editor.
Yeah.
You know, and took a risk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it like I said, it's crazy. I still can't believe, like if I needed to, I could, like, text his manager and be like, hey, can I get, and we saw that tour in Houston. It was a good tour. Cheap Trick was really good too.
I love
it. Yeah, I was impressed with them. Yeah. Anyways,
we'll have to talk more offline, Catherine, about the beauty of Rod Stewart. I hope he hears this episode and he's like, you know what?
I'm
impacting the younger generations.
I'll send the link on and maybe he'll see it.
Yes, we'll see. Amazing. Well, let's transition into talking about burnout. This is something I have gone through, many seasons of burnout in my creative life, just as I'm sure you both experienced that too. How are you able to overcome that and continue to create and work on your craft while feeling burnt out?
I mean, I know for me, I just, have to let it take its course. I really can't add on to my pile while I'm being burned out. So yeah, just, you know, take care of myself as best as I can. And then for me, I think the worst burnouts have lasted like months. But you just have to love your body and love yourself and your health. And from a place of love, just take the time you need to get better and breathe. And then everything just starts to trickle back in. Creativity, life, inspiration. For me, that's been the way it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it is making sure that I'm doing different activities instead of the same thing over and over again. So like, for example, when I get burnout in painting, it's usually because I've had like Christmas for me is really crazy because I do a lot of pet portraits. And so, you know, I get a gajillion pet portrait requests, like, you know, and as much as I try to tell people starting in August, you know, to get your request in early so that I can get it done, like inevitably there's 25 that come in December, you know, and of course I can't get through all of them, but you know, I try to get through as many as I can. And it's hard when you're painting basically the same thing over and over and over. You know, it's all got hair. It's all black, brown, or white. You know, like...
It's eyes.
Exactly. It's hard. But like, if I can switch from, you know, pets to birds or to fish or to, you know, something that is different and use my brain a little bit differently. I also kind of bore as a hobby, but I like to make jewelry. So sometimes I'll have just doing that, or I'll not paint at all and I'll just do design work. You know, as long as I'm not doing the same exact thing every day, I find that really helps me to not get burned out.
Definitely. Yeah, you have to have a change of pace. I like having multiple things that I'm working on at the same time, like just, you know, passion projects or things on the side that I can, when I'm tired of one and over it and need a fresh set of eyes, I can take a look at something else.
I somewhat agree with that, except that like right now I have a painting that's half done, that's been half done for like, I don't know, a few days, 4 or 5 days. And it's driving me nuts because it's not finished. So like I do have a hard time like not finishing a project.
Yeah.
I would rather have it done.
Yep.
You know, but that's just me and my
awareness. Well, my final question before we wrap up for today, I would love to know what you both have planned for the rest of 2024. Do you have any exciting projects or films or exhibits, or what's on the horizon for you both?
For me, I really want to get my short film done. I would like to be a bit more adventurous in my auditions. I would like to get some personal, you know, practical things settled and my ducks in a row. And yeah, I would like to just become a better, stronger actor than I was any previous year. Even if it's a minute difference, I would like to see it and feel comfortable with myself.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have the drive and the ambition, which is, that's the first step. So I'm really excited to see how you continue to grow this year.
Thank you.
Yeah, the same is kind of true for me. I have a show in Thibodaux, which is like a small town, a little bit south of New Orleans. But anyway, it's not exactly south, but it's outside of New Orleans. But it's at a wildlife nature center, more or less. They do a lot of conservation, and it's a big one because I need to have like 50 or 60 paintings, and I don't have that number right now. So I'm working really hard to try to get up to that number because I have to fill a space. So, but that's going to be, I think that's going to end up being a really good show because it's all Louisiana wildlife and that kind of stuff does really well here. So that'll be good. And I'm trying to kind of revamp just the way I do my social media for myself. Just because I feel like it could be done better. And I'm also getting into public speaking. So I have, I'm going to be speaking at the National Goodwill Conference in March. And then I have a few other smaller things lined up in the next couple months. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Exciting.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me. I am feeling so inspired and like fired up after our conversation, and also just, you know, thrilled to have connected with you both. And I wish you nothing but the best this year. I'm excited to see all the amazing things that unfold for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.